You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 72, The Slight Edge of Tech. I have a dilemma.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Okay. At the end of... No. The beginning of March?
Yes.
SimCity is coming out.
Yes.
For the PC.
Yes.
I own a Mac.
Yes.
Okay. I have a work PC as well. I do have that. And then I also have a very old personal PC that I use to play Rome Total War on.
You have a personal computer?
Nice. I do. Yeah. Is that allowed? To have a business personal computer and then a personal computer?
I guess.
It's allowed. They're two different types of personals.
Yeah, you're right.
It's all good. They are there. except spelled exactly the same.
Yeah, I get to say.
I have this dilemma because it's coming out in March, and I really want to play the game. I am pumped for it because I love SimCity. Which, P.S., my wife was telling one of the youth group girls who we work with about SimCity for some reason, and she was like, "SimCity, that's like old." It's like, oh.
Ouch. And,
well, you're lost, okay? Because Oregon Trail is also old, and it's also amazing. So take that. Anyways, I want to start playing it in March.
Okay? Yes.
But EA has come out and said that SimCity for Mac is coming out in the spring. And anytime a company leaves it like that, that means like May.
Right.
Maybe even June.
We're basically in summer at this point.
They're not saying, especially when they say, because we want to take the time to make sure that the gameplay is the same on the Mac as it is on the PC or Windows, whatever.
Right.
You sit there and go, oh, yeah, this isn't like a 2 week later release. I can tell. So, I was really concerned, you know, because I'm like, okay, do I buy the PC version and install it on my work machine so I play it on the off hours?
Oh,
do I install it on my personal computer?
Definitely not.
And and hope that it's got enough horsepower to run it, or do I go out and buy a whole new computer to play this game? It seems a little over the top. And then or do I just wait around for the Mac version?
So, do you want the responsible answer or the answer I want to give you?
Buy
a new computer.
Like I said, this is a dilemma that I am currently facing. But it is within the realm of possibility that EA is going to solve my problem.
Yeah.
Because they announced, I think it was like yesterday, wasn't it? Or Thursday, yeah. I guess. That EA is putting Origin on the Mac.
The blight of the video game industry, yes.
Yeah, that's the one, which I want to find out why, because I have very little experience with it other than like signing it up for Origin for Madden on my iPhone. But so now I'm like, oh, so now what I could do potentially, because the whole idea behind Origin, right, is you buy once and then you can download it on whatever machines you own. And I don't know if there's a machine limit or not. Don't know how much I care. But then I could potentially, I could buy it, try it on my personal PC. And if it's horrible, go, oh, well, okay, well, it's horrible. Or, you know, and then I just wait out for the Mac version, you know, without having to worry about having to pay double for it. But...
Well, yeah, I think
I also don't know. Honestly, I don't know what HP's policy is on installing games on a work machine because I'm the administrator and like I install my own browser, I install my own stuff on it,
right?
I mean, like all the time, and I would imagine like as long as I'm not playing during work, you know, who cares? But. I don't know. And that's the kind of thing where I can look at that policy, I suppose, and see what it is. I just, I I buy so little video games that it hasn't mattered.
Right. So what my recommendation would be,
let's assume that I can get it, that I could download it on my work PC, because that would be my option, because it's an awesome PC, actually. I would totally do it, and then I'd play it. And then once it came out with a Mac, then I would flip over to play it on my Mac.
What I was going to say is I would say, yeah, do that, go that route. Buy it through Origin. And I don't know their policy. They might have a policy similar to Valve where if you buy a physical version of the game, you can put the key code into Origin, and it allows you to – and now you now have access to it.
I don't know.
Honestly, the problem with Origin is that it's pretty fair. I've used it for two games now, back during the Steam summer sale, and I got a little bit carried away.
I remember that.
And bought like 400 hours worth of video games, and then picked Skyrim first because I decided I only wanted to play that game ever, I guess. So I've played some of those games, and I used Origin to do them, and it wasn't bad. It's a little bit hanky, and I think they do have a limit on the number of machines that you can download it on, which check first. But you know, for me, I have like one computer, so I don't really care that much. Whereas Steam is very flexible, it's very fast, and it's very intuitive. Origin is not, and they're very much into, you know, breaking games so that you can't use them outside of that context. Which it's just or EA.
Well, so I know they said with SimCity, they're like, you have to have an internet connection to play it. Period.
Yeah.
They allow like an outage, but you have to have an internet connection.
Right, and EA is notoriously brutal about about they treat all of their users like criminals so that criminals can't steal their games. Yeah, and it feels like that a little bit. It feels like you're jumping through hurdles just to be able to play this stupid game that you paid for. Why? It's kind of like buying a DVD and having to sit through 4 hours of trailers before that, unskippable trailers before the movie starts.
Oh, I remember that.
You know, that's the sort of thing that's just like, that's the sort of thing that, yeah, it drives consumers away because you sit there and you go, why would I put up with this garbage? I'm paying for this.
So I'm going to get this game.
Yeah.
One way or another.
What I would say is my recommendation would be to buy it through Origin, and for the reason that you're saying, it means that you don't have to buy it later. You'll have to download the game, but you'll have to do that for Mac anyways once it comes up.
Yeah, because they said that's going to be download only in the Mac store, probably,
right,
or through their Origin, I guess. That's my hope. If they say if it's digital download only, why would you not make it available through Origin? Right. Other than they just like, so they mentioned like The Sims 3 is one of them that's going to be available, and I don't understand why they're being so mum about it. They should just tell people it's okay.
Well, I think The Sims 3 is already, I think it's probably a launch title is why The Sims 3 is there, whereas SimCity is not a launch title, so they don't want to announce it.
All right. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
And yeah,
but I do love it though. In like all the different forums I saw, it, every single one, the very first comment, well, what about SimCity?
Yeah,
that's all people care about. It's awesome.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I mean, it's amazing how much attention it's garnering.
Do is watch their little walkthrough, the 9-minute video, and you're just like, even my wife, who does not play video games, who's not into that stuff, goes, "Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I'd like to try that." Done. Sells itself.
Exactly. So, I don't know. If I were you, I'd just buy it through Origin. I don't think you're going to have any problem with that.
Okay. Now I just got to find out what the work computer policy is. I mean, I got, iTunes installed, and I haven't gotten any nasty grams from that, so.
They probably don't track that sort of stuff on your computer.
No, they probably don't. That's right. The man's not watching me. I'm the administrator.
Exactly. They would have to add software to watch that sort of thing. You're probably fine.
I'll just have to double check, like I do with this podcast. Okay, all right. I want to do this. What do I have to do to be legal?
Oh, whatever, man.
Dude, I like to play by the rules. I'm that kind of guy.
I like to ask for forgiveness. What's the
you
problem?
Know this? You know this.
Yeah,
you know
true.
That about me. I am a total pansy when it comes to stretching the rules.
I'm so funny. Like, if I'm stretching the rules and I, like, get called out on it, I'm like, I know you guys knew that. Like, obviously. You think I'm so stupid that I don't know what you're watching? I just thought we, like, had a mutual understanding here, which is why you were cool about it for so long. Like, why else would you give me this access if you didn't want me doing this? I mean,
why else would you give me this access? Oh, that's funny. Oh, man.
Oh.
Funny. So, I think we got enough time for, depending on the length, for one more article.
Well, I think there are only, oh. Yeah, okay. Apple selling a ton of iPhones in India because they started a giant ad campaign. They went from like 3 people a couple of years ago to 150 people. And everybody's been complaining about the fact that they're like not selling any phones anywhere in the world. But they're taking off in India right now. And they're just like,
wait, when you said 3 people to 150, like customers?
No. Like employees working in the marketing.
Okay.
The India marketing arm. And they, so it's become this big operation and they're starting to sell a lot of phones. And the only reason I bring this up is because, you know, obviously there's been a lot of talk about how to sell in China and, you know, improve sales and the iPhone cheap, whereas they'll come out with the iPhone math later on for America, the big phone with all sorts
Americans,
of
Americans, Texans.
Yeah. But they'll come out with the iPhone Classic or whatever they're calling it. And that will be specifically to target China's market. And the thought was India would sweep along with that. But what it's looking like is Apple hasn't been selling there very much. And it's because they basically like, you know, haven't been advertising anything. And all of a sudden, I guess in the last quarter, they started like really hitting the advertising hard. They're huge campaign of awareness and it's working, which everybody was like, well, what was the big holdup? And Apple's responding, we don't know how to advertise in India. We had to learn first. And now we have, and now we are.
That's smart.
And everyone's like, I guess that makes sense. So, yeah, they're selling a bunch of phones. And then it's just, and the only reason I bring that up is because you're starting to see the beginning of a trend, which is probably going to become a bigger and bigger deal over the course of this year. Because, you know, if China has 1.5 billion people, India has 1 billion. So it's, you know, it's a gigantic market, both of them.
So does that mean that Apple's still trying to figure out how to talk to Chinese people or?
They had already started hitting that crazy, you know, they were already really having a lot of growth and now the growth has tempered. And the rationale is because they've saturated the high end, the people who can afford the expensive phone.
Saturate a high end of a billion people? Well, I guess they have a pretty big low end.
They have a very different structure from us because they don't buy subsidized phones. So you're talking, you know, how many people can afford an $800 phone? And that's their problem is they need to be able to sell. And that's going to be a problem in India too. It's just that now they're really targeting that high end customers. They're targeting the brand. And so when they launch the iPhone Plastic and, you know, it's an affordable unsubsidized phone, it'll have two big markets that it's already branded as a great device in. And I think it'll do really well. And you're literally talking about like half the world's population in those two countries. So that could be a big deal for Apple in the future. A key to their success, one might argue. probably very validly argue that. So, it's just an interesting trend to keep an eye on over time.
Yeah.
That's all.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, good show, man.
Good cool. show.
I am going to go get, like, mentally psyched and prepped for Top Gun.
That's not how the song goes. I don't know how the song goes.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
I was trying to like highway into the danger zone. Party one. Never mind.
Yeah, okay. Anyways. everybody, thank you for joining us. My name is James Furlow, and I forget what you did at the very beginning. It was
Cupid Dodging Brother.
Yes, that's right. Because I quickly changed it to Missile Dodging.
Right.
So my Cupid Dodging Brother, apparently, is Matthew Furlow. So everybody, we will talk next time. Google has come out with a new feature, which is very important to us personally, okay? It is it's a Hangouts bandwidth meter thingy controller, okay? So if you're looking at your Hangout, okay, you got your two small ones, and you got the big picture.
Yeah.
And then you go up, I believe, off to the side, you've probably got some like green dots, a yellow dot, and a red dot when you talk.
Yeah.
Microphone, camera. See those three bars that are going up there?
A Wi-Fi thing.
Yeah. If you
adjust your video equipment to change your bandwidth.
So what's cool about that is that you can say, you know what? I have a horrible connection.
Oh, that's awesome. You go away.
And then I'll show you a picture instead, which you will probably have to change that picture in the future if you do that. So it's not just like a black screen. People actually know what they're looking at. It's a cool little feature, huh?
That's awesome. That's the low bandwidth setting for me. That's the low bandwidth image.
That's one of the low. Yeah, so...
That picture?
Well, it's just very... I don't know. Not professional. Cool new feature. I think Google does some amazing things with their Hangouts. I hope they never get rid of it, otherwise we're in trouble. And because clearly they put a lot of time and thought into better. So,
yeah.
Anyways, that's the pre-show, which will actually show up at the end of the recorded show.